Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, we're talking today about Get the Lead Out. Did you come up with that title?
I did.
All by my inspiration, my little self. Yeah. All by your little self. So I'm assuming we're talking about lead.
We are talking about lead. Some people were thinking that it was weight loss and other things, but no,
that's coming, right?
Yeah, right. It's get the lead out.
Okay. Well, why a topic on lead today?
Well, that is actually something that the Center of Disease Control has said that needs to be a priority. Mm-hmm. So one of the things is there's a very strong emphasis on the federal level, on the state level, to really take a look at the lead toxicity and how much of a problem it is and how much it needs to be addressed. So this is actually sort of like a federal mandate.
Oh, really? On lead?
On lead.
I mean, we've been hearing about lead for a while. I remember lead paint.
Sure.
Lead-based paints.
Well, the basis of this is that there was a couple of years ago a study on heavy metal toxicity and its effects, and it kind of went through the whole thing, and it was actually shocking even to the Center of Disease Control how much of an issue heavy metal toxicity, and especially lead, and what a price we're paying with especially our children.
So how much of a risk is lead toxicity?
Well, lead toxicity, the Center of Disease Control says about 535,000 children right now are showing up high on lead levels in their blood, which is a very high number.
Is that just in the United States?
That's just in the United States.
Wow.
So it's a very big number. Mm-hmm. They said that there's 24 million homes that probably have lead-based paints that are probably hazardous, especially if children are living there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a very big problem. It's a problem that also can be found in adults. But, you know, really the ones that they are most concerned about is children.
So are children at greater risk then?
Children are at greater risk. A very interesting aspect of children is that they are much more susceptible to absorbing lead and it becoming more toxic and more damaging than it is in adults. They find that children are 8 times more likely to absorb lead into their system.
Why is that?
They don't have the same barriers that adults do. Mm-hmm. Also, you're talking about a fast growth type of a situation.
They're growing.
They're growing. They don't handle toxicities the same way. Matter of fact, children, even their immune systems work completely different than adults because of the growth that's taking place.
It's a lot of stress on the body?
The lead is, one, more easily absorbed, and then, two, it's much more easily absorbed into the nervous system. Mm-hmm. In other words, if an adult took in the lead like a child does, they can oftentimes process it and get rid of it, whereas a child, it goes right into the system. And they don't have the same neurological barrier. In other words, that they can absorb lead 4 times quicker than an adult would.
4 times, wow.
And it will actually go to the nervous system at a greater rate. And they find that boys are more likely to have a higher susceptibility to absorbing heavy metals than girls.
Why? Do you know why that is? Do you have some theories?
One, it seems to have an effect on the higher testosterone level, that there is a hormonal difference that allows them to absorb heavy metals quicker than females. Mm. So children, you know, could be in the same exposure as an adult. An adult may not actually even show any damage from it, but a child, it could be very, very devastating.
So what signs and symptoms or, you know, problems develop with lead toxicity?
Well, in adults, you can get anemia. All these things are also true of children, but the children have actually other things that can also occur. But you're talking about anemia. It will cause iron deficiency. So one of the things is if you are having trouble with iron deficiency, having it checked to make sure that lead toxicity isn't a problem, because it will cause that issue. Anorexia. We have had patients who came in here who were anorexic and couldn't seem to be able to, you know, get that under control, and it was a lead issue.
So anorexia has...
Anorexia can actually come from lead toxicity.
Interesting.
Okay. Anxiety, concentration impairment, confusion, constipation, interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
We have found that with quite a few patients. Depression, unexplained depression, can come from lead toxicity. And if depression is an issue, that should be something that's ruled out. Dizziness, drowsiness, fatigue, headaches, hypertension, incoordination, which we've found on several patients that lead was the reason for that particular problem.
For incoordination.
Incoordination. As a matter of fact, they had done quite a few different types of neurological testing. They had checked for all the different types of neurological diseases, and we checked for heavy metal toxicity, because we always think of any type of neurological condition as possibly caused by that, and have found lead on some patients.
When you're talking a lot about patients you've seen.
We've actually seen, yeah.
Yeah, so do you see a lot of patients with lead toxicity?
We will probably get about 10 patients a year who show up some high levels of lead and need to have that taken care of.
Both children and adults.
Both children and adults.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'm not quite done.
Oh, on your signs and symptoms. There's a long list, huh?
Irritability, memory impairment, pain in the abdomen, pain
that.
In bones.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Pain in muscles, restlessness and tremors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in children, it can actually even show up other different types of things. If you have very high levels in children, you can actually have encephalopathy, where the brain actually swells. That's one thing that we've actually seen on patients. Ataxia, speech abnormalities, seizures, coma. For low levels, chronic low levels, learning disabilities is the biggest thing that you're looking for, and that's one of the major things that they're finding with children. Spatial integration, motor coordination problems, hyperactivity, distractibility and aggressiveness, and even very small amounts of lead, which is very interesting, will cause a drop in IQ, and that can be permanent. And especially as you're talking about children under five, a tremendous amount of the 535,000 children who are actually showing up with that lead toxicity, they will all have learning disabilities as a result of that.
Wow.
And it doesn't take very long to start to show, you know, to have the effects. It takes less than 30 days to have a permanent effect on the brain.
Less than 30 days.
Less than 30 days.
From exposure?
From exposure.
Wow. That isn't that long at all.
No. So, you know, being aware of that, and one of the things is that there's an extremely high cost that is involved with the learning disabilities, and you're talking about 535,000 children, according to the Center of Disease Control, that are walking around right now with actually high levels of lead.
When you say high cost, what do you mean? In the healthcare, in the...
In healthcare, they estimate that it's going to, you know, per child, it's about $5,500 in medical costs. But in cost of special education, problems that developed with adulthood because of their learning disabilities, they're much at higher risk for being unemployed. Much higher risk of jail time, You know, so there is a real problem that's associated with long-term cost to society, having these high lead levels.
Mm-hmm. So it's not something to take lightly.
It's definitely not something to, you know, take lightly. And as I said, the federal government, the Center of Disease Control, has made this one of their top priorities this year.
Interesting. So the Center of Disease Control, and this is one of their...
their top priorities. And they've really started a big campaign, and all the states had to produce a campaign on how they were going to address this particular problem. This was also something that was sent to the physicians. That's one of the reasons that I've decided to make a radio program out of it, is that this was something that they asked us also to make people more aware of, and to start a process on that, on trying to reduce that and see if we can actually eliminate it. And it's a group effort, and I think it's something that's very, very important.
Okay. Well, when we come back, let's talk about the treatment for lead toxicity. You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Consider the blood work to be the blueprint to your health, and we've had several different radio programs on that and talked about how important it is to have at least a yearly complete blood test to find out where you are. The blood is the life force of the body, and it gives an amazing chemical picture of where you are with your health. And can actually pick up all the different types of diseases that could be going on. So having a thorough blood test is one of the most important things and is recommended by everyone to make sure that your health is up to where it should be and can actually pick up any type of disease process before it becomes a major factor. So having a good blood test, a good thorough blood test, is one of the most important things that you can possibly have. One of the things that I implemented when I started my practice was a blood test that could actually cover any type of problem that was actually developed that someone could actually experience. So we came up with a profile. We gave it to the labs, but they said, wow, that's a pretty good profile. Do you mind if we offer that to other people? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that would be fine, you know, because I feel that that's something that could be very useful. And they named it the Prather Profile. So I've actually met with other doctors before and talked to them and said, you're Dr. Prather, are you the Prather of the Prather Profile? And I said, yeah, because, you know, they get a list of different profiles. And so it's actually now a national profile. So we actually have 52 different lab tests that are actually included in this profile. It covers everything from A to Z. In other words, any disease process that you could possibly have in your body, that will be covered by this particular blood test. So it is something that should be done by everyone from no matter how young you are to no matter how old you are, at least once a year to see what your health is. If you have a problem, this will actually pick it up. And one of the nice things about that is it is actually covered by insurance. So very excellent way of actually finding out where you are, and if there are any hidden types of problems that are going on, this will actually show it up.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about get the lead out, lead toxicity. It's you know, something we've heard about. It seems like it's been kind of quiet, and you say now it's something that's of concern to the Centers of Disease Control.
Sure. Much more of a problem than what was originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that, of course, we had changed our gasoline. Our gasoline used to contain lead.
That's right.
And they got that out.
Mm-hmm.
Lead was very common in paints, and they changed the lead-based paints and tried to eliminate those because they were actually causing quite a bit of problems. As a matter of fact, the gentleman, the people who started the who discovered lead in gasoline because it cut down on the knocking,
mm-hmm.
All died of lead poisoning.
Wow. Wow, just too much
exposure.
Too much exposure. And it
right.
sounds like it permeates quickly.
It actually can. You can absorb it not only through the mouth. Breathing it in is one of the most damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So breathing it in is very bad. Getting it into the mouth, of course, is a huge problem if you ingest it. But you can actually absorb it through your skin.
That's why they don't want you chewing on pencils.
Well, yes, pencils. Interestingly enough, crayons.
Oh, have a lot of lead?
Have a lot of lead. One of the, it's actually become a, talking about some of the different sources of lead, the majority of lead is actually used for batteries. Mm-hmm. That's why disposal of batteries is a major concern at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we just throw them into a landfill, then that lead will leak out and get into our water supply.
Oh.
So well water is actually a very big source of lead. So if well water can be mm-hmm. a very big source of lead and be a very big problem.
Interesting.
So
what are we supposed to do with our batteries?
They actually have special disposal sites.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're actually supposed to put those in sort of a hazardous waste type of unit to get rid of those because it is if you look at the percentage of where lead goes, paint, and of course one of the big problems that we have is in the United States we have a lot of laws and rules on lead use,
mm-hmm.
but the problem is over, a lot of our products are made in China now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that with toys and
right, and the Chinese
can't regulate that.
Well, there are international rules on uh-huh. that, and they aren't supposed to import, especially anything to do with children with lead. But we're finding a tremendous amount of them breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something made in China and it's for your child, and your child puts it into their mouth, which children never do.
Funny.
Then, there is a possibility that your child could be getting some lead.
Wow.
Breathing.
And you know it's made in China when it says made in China.
Well, sometimes that is a hint. But, that there has been several recalls of toys that had very, very high levels of lead.
Did someone kill themselves over that in China?
Yes, there was a gentleman who was in charge of that,
mm-hmm.
and had been found that he fudged his reports that he wasn't using lead-based uh-huh. paints for the toys, and found out that it was extremely high, and all the toys were just extremely toxic.
Weren't they recalling them?
They recalled them. I mean, even handling them, you could actually get lead.
Mm.
Let alone a child putting it in its mouth, and you would cause some permanent type of damage.
So no toys for Christmas.
Yeah, no.
Unless they're made in
yeah, all the
Indonesia,
all the moms
okay.
are looking really quick at all the toys.
Well,
but
yeah, that's a good point.
It is something to be very aware of, and you would hate to think that your child is permanently injured
mm-hmm.
from you buying a toy that they could use.
Well, there's such a rise on ADHD and
yes.
learning disability.
Yes, and that's one of the things that they were looking at is what is the cause of that.
Mm-hmm.
And lead seemed to be a very big culprit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the things is that it could happen in childhood, and then you have no idea what actually caused it as you know, as they get older. You know, by the time they're teenagers.
And then you see a nervous system, and
you see the effects of it, but the exposure could have been happened when they were actually a baby or an infant.
And that's why we're going to talk about the important diagnostics.
The diagnostics are critical, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about what is the standard treatment for lead toxicity?
Well, the standard treatment for lead toxicity is chelation.
Okay.
That is IV chelation, where they then use that to pull the lead out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the standard of care that is recommended along those lines. We do have some alternatives along those lines.
Okay.
Which is very, very helpful. One, we of course we can refer people for the IV chelation. We don't do it here in our office, but you can also do oral chelation, which mm-hmm. we actually find is extremely effective. And then
I think the kids would respond better to that.
And then that would be for more severe cases. But we also have found that there are quite a few minerals as we combine that into the system. Also, we use homeopathics. One of the things is, you know, it seems rather dramatic to be doing an IV chelation on an infant for a small amount of lead. And oftentimes, lead would be ignored in those types of instances. Well, it's not too bad. You know, it's not really worth it to get an IV chelation, where that is not a problem for us, because we can use some minerals, some vitamins, some oral chelation, some homeopathics, and very effectively pull out the lead out of the system in a very non-traumatic way to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you're talking about very small levels of lead, that's not a problem for us to actually deal with, where it might be ignored in another situation. Because, as we said, earlier, even a small exposure of lead will reduce a child's IQ permanently.
Mm-hmm. Permanently.
Permanently.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not something that should be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that really needs to be followed. Children from the age of in utero.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to 5 years old, are especially susceptible and can especially absorb the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
cause
a big
neurological
time where toys are going in the mouth.
Absolutely, their
teething.
Exposure level. You know, they're crawling around mm-hmm. oftentimes. And when you're talking about lead paint, you know, they can put that, you know, little chips in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But also, even as it gets into a dust matter, you know, breathing it in.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they don't put it in their mouth, if they're breathing it in, that's breathing it is actually the most toxic way to get it into your system.
Wow.
So, you know, having that awareness for children, especially one to five, and as that as a cause, and, you know, you think that you're protecting your children. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are so many different ways to have that exposure. I mean, lead is found in crayons quite
mm-hmm.
often, especially if they're made overseas, which most of them are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're made in the United States, usually we're going to have safer practices. But if they're made over in other countries, you know, not just China, but Indonesia or other countries, they're going to figure out the cheapest way to make them. And lead makes a big difference on that.
You can smell crayons. Like, you know, even thinking about them, you can
sure.
smell them right now.
Well, pool chalk.
Mm.
You know, if
pool
you're,
chalk?
Yeah, if you actually have a pool cube.
Good thing I'm not good at pool.
And you sit there and
yeah.
rub it and you play a lot of pool. That's all lead-based, and that's not actually regulated.
Interesting.
So there's a tremendous amount of
so you
dust
pool sharks out there. And
yeah.
Someone needs to come up with a new. Wow, this could be a Shark Tank thing.
Ooh. are we playing off of Shark Tank? Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they're
because
they're,
that shock gets all over
sure.
everywhere.
People who deal with auto, I mean, when you're talking about, automobiles, there's still quite a bit of lead exposure.
With the paint?
Well, not just with the paint, but also with the mufflers. Mm-hmm. has a lot of lead that comes out of there. So there's a lot of different ways.
Well, I remember our car was getting worked on.
Right.
We had been in a fender bender. And I went in, you know, to the office area, not even where the vehicles were. And it just smelled so toxic to me. And there was a woman at the front desk who was pregnant. I said, how are you doing with these smells? And she was so immune to them. She didn't even notice.
Oh, and see, that could be a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with not only lead toxicity, but other different types of exposures along mm-hmm. those lines. So, you know, it's something to be aware of, and it's not something that a lot of people are even thinking about.
Yeah, we don't even realize the hazardous, you know, the hazards around us.
Sure.
So the treatment you hear, you know, you do hear, the structure function treatment for lead toxicity, why would... Do you say that's preferred over the standard chelation?
Well, one, we've it's something that is 100% successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've never had a lead case that we couldn't get cleared up. And it's much more less traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as you're doing chelation, you need to be aware of other different types of minerals that could be pulled out, where we can be very specific on what we're working with. So it's a much more of a precision, much more gentler, much less toxic, much less damaging, and from what I've seen, more effective.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about how a person can tell if they have lead toxicity.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I went to one nutritionist. She said to me, the good news is you can have all the salad you want. Whew. That is good news. I was nervous. I came in here thinking, please, God, anything. Don't take away my salad. She wanted me to have salad as the food. No. Salad's not food. Salad comes with the food. Salad is a promissory note that food will soon arrive. If my brain sees a salad, it says, something good is going to happen soon. Wait right here.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about how to get the lead out, and Dr. Prather, how can you tell if you have lead toxicity?
Well, interestingly, most people who come in and have it have no idea.
Right.
You know, they have other different types of symptoms that's actually brought them in. But even then, you can have developing the lead toxicity and not show any signs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that you shouldn't just count on of, oh, let me wait until I have symptoms and then get it checked. This is something that, according to the Center of Disease Control, they want every child screened in the United States, five and under, on whether they have lead.
Mm. So how do you do that? How would someone do that for their child?
Well, you can do a blood test, And the advantages of blood tests is it shows if you are immediately have some lead exposure. But it does wash out of the blood in a very short amount of time. So if you have a very strong exposure to lead and then you are away from it, you know, within 7 days it washes out of the blood. Hmm. So one of the things that we also do is a hair analysis.
Okay.
Hair analysis actually shows up if it's accumulating into the tissue. Mm-hmm. And it will show up any type of a chronic type of a lead or a slow accumulation in the system. And then also would show up if there are past exposures that need to be, you know, detoxed out of the system. The blood level will show. So what we do is we do a lead blood level to see if there's present toxicity. And then we do hair analysis if there's any cumulative.
And I was just thinking, well, what if, you know, some babies don't have hair? Then what do you do? and some other, you know, some males that are older might have hair on their head.
Get it off their ears. You can take hair from anywhere.
Okay.
And then also you can use
nails. Okay.
So it doesn't have to be hair.
Right. And I know we have standard tests, you know, we encourage people. We're structure function medicine.
Sure.
Preventative.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to wait till the disease is present. You know, we were even talking with a patient yesterday who's pregnant and asking us all sorts of questions. Because we're very passionate about natural childbirth. And, you know, I was telling her when I went into the hospital, I felt like I was in a morgue, and birth should not feel like death.
Right.
And you had said something pretty profound. It's not a disease.
Right.
Giving birth is not a disease, and the hospitals have made it that way. I mean, sure. I know there's cases, you know, and there's emergency cases and things, but it just seems like it's the standard now.
Sure.
And that was just real profound to me. You know, let's not, and in this case, let's get it checked and not wait till it, you know, we see the neurological effects.
Or, right. It's, again, you know, the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having, you know, having regular checks on that, checking to see if you're, child is exposed. You know, the blood test is very helpful if you think there's some immediate types of things. Hair analysis is great to just to check and see what's, you know, on a long-term type of basis.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting, I mean, we have 535,000 children who show up high levels of lead as we speak. But when the Center of Disease Control went around and checked on heavy metal toxicity, which includes mercury and aluminum, cadmium, other different types of heavy metal toxicities like that. One out of every four showed up that there was health risk involved with the levels of heavy metals. You know, we talked about that there's a, you know, that we haven't had on a yearly basis, we don't have too many that have show up high levels of lead.
Mm-hmm.
But about one a month.
About one a month.
And then, but, you know, when we're talking about overall all the different types of heavy metals, about a third of our patients show up heavy metal toxicity when we check them.
And when you're talking about heavy metal toxicity, what are you talking about?
Well, there's a whole a slew of heavy metals that can be involved. The ones that people mainly know about are the mercury and the lead.
Yeah.
But there are other toxicities. As a matter of fact, the most toxic metal out there is nickel. I feel that nickel causes, from what I've seen, and as I've talked to other practitioners out there and some scientists, is that nickel is the most damaging metal of them all.
And you find that, I know, in jewelry.
You find that in
jewelry. Yeah, we don't let our girls wear the jewelry with a nickel in it.
Oftentimes they'll use that in dental work, too, because it helps to harden. And, of course, oftentimes they try to get away from the mercury.
Yeah.
But they're using a lot of nickel in there, even in some of the what you would consider the ceramic type of material, to harden it.
Mm.
So, and nickel, I think, is actually even more damaging than the lead.
Interesting. So is the hair analysis accurate?
The hair analysis, and one of the problems is that hair analysis is considered a very legitimate and one of the accepted forms of analysis for the heavy metals. That's something that's quite accepted. The problem is that there was a lot of people who didn't follow the standards. And making sure that you have a excellent lab, mm-hmm. you know, that isn't just a mom-and-pop type of thing.
Right.
Because there were an awful lot of mom-and-pop hair analysis. So mm-hmm. the one that we use, the technology was based out of Germany. It is the most accepted and the most accurate of all the hair analysis out there.
And I know when you pick labs for our different diagnostics, you pick the top ones here in the United States.
Yes. It's very critical to find which lab is the most accurate because accuracy is very, very important to be able to see the results. And one of the things that we see a very high correlation on the symptoms and the diseases that people are experiencing and how they're feeling and their hair analysis. Mm-hmm. You know, getting that balanced out makes a very big difference. And oftentimes, as we're talking to people about the symptoms that are associated with the different types of heavy metals that they're dealing with, because there is a very strong correlation on that mm-hmm. with their symptomatology, and as we get that balanced out, you do see the difference in their symptoms and how they're feeling.
Yeah, and so, I know for me, I mean, I do the hair analysis twice a year because we're working on balancing my zinc copper levels.
And that's very huge for one's health and hormone mm-hmm. and neurological.
So how often should the hair analysis be done?
The recommendation on that is that everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, mm-hmm. Should have a hair analysis done once a year to make sure that there's a problem. If there is a situation in there where it needs to be rechecked until it balances out, we recheck it every 3 months.
Right.
To see the progress on that, know when it's balanced, and then we can actually then go to once a year.
And unfortunately, the hair analysis isn't covered by insurance, but the lab has worked with us, and we have what we think is a reasonable rate is $110 for the hair analysis. For the information that it gives you, nice big report that the patient gets when we review it with them. It's very helpful.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing that's very important when you're dealing with the hair analysis is it gives so much information on not only on heavy metals, which is extremely important. If there's some type of heavy metal toxicity going on in the person, you have to get that balanced out before you can ever make progress.
Mm-hmm.
There have been cases where we've had people on suicide watch. Mm. And because of, you know, the severe depression and some of the severe symptoms that are going on. And as soon as we got their hair analysis balanced out, they were fine.
Yeah. Well, we had a testimony not too long ago on the radio of the patient with the copper levels.
Sure.
That were out of balance and the problems that caused her. And once it was balanced, she was a new girl.
It really does. You know, finding those types of things, and that's one thing is that in our style of practice, you know, with the structure function, we're very dependent upon labs.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, even more important, you know, more dependent upon that than the normal disease care.
Yeah. I know when other doctors come in and they see the results, how
right.
quickly the blood chemistry's changed, you know, in such a short time. Sometimes I think people think structure function medicine, it takes longer, but I don't really see that here.
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, we've had doctors who've been seeing patients for years and years and years with, you know, a general decrease in their whole life, you know, in their mm-hmm. in their blood work, you know, just a worsening of their conditioning, and then having that turned around in such a short amount of time,
yeah,
is very unbelievable to a lot of the doctors who are coming through in the office.
Yeah, neat. When we come back, more about how to get the lead out.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what can a new patient expect when they come into your office?
The first thing is that's extremely important is a consultation. Mm-hmm. That's really where everything begins.
And that consultation is complimentary, free. They can come in, and the consultation's with you, mm-hmm. which is nice. Yeah,
the consultation is absolutely critical. In fact, you can get 90% of your diagnosis just from the consultation.
Mm-hmm. Listening to the patient.
Listening to the patient, finding out what their concerns are, what needs to be done, mm-hmm. How we can best help them. Having a good understanding of the complaints of the patient is absolutely critical mm-hmm. for good care. And the patient knowing that we are actually listening to them. We have very thorough intake forms that mm-hmm. are extremely helpful. Gives us quite a bit of information of what's going on into the system. After the consultation, you have to look at the diagnostics.
Okay.
You first have to understand, you know, where the patient's coming from, have an idea, but then you have to know, you know, what to do, mm-hmm. What the problem is. Mm-hmm. There is a difference on our diagnostics than from the medical diagnostics. The medical profession, as a disease care-based program, they are looking at disease states and combinations along those lines mm-hmm. to treat the symptoms. Our basis of our care is a understanding of what is the underlying cause, finding out what that is. Usually caused by a break from homeostasis. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear that word if you're listening to our radio program.
You're going to know
every
it well.
Time. Mm-hmm. Because homeostasis is the basis of our practice. And homeostasis is the basis of health. And we are a health office. Mm-hmm. That is what a structure function office is. Mm-hmm. So the diagnostics are extremely thorough, probably more thorough than what you would get anywhere else. We look at very extensive blood work. We might do hair analysis, might do some evaluation of the gut because that's so important to one's health. We do a thorough cardiac evaluation. We do a thorough musculoskeletal exam. Many offices that even are into natural health are either just dealing with the functional aspect mm-hmm. or they are just dealing with the structural aspect. We are unique in that we deal with both, and both of them extremely thoroughly and extremely well.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Well, we're talking today about how to get the lead out, lead toxicity. And, Dr. Prather, you do the structure function model, and mm-hmm. we talk about that. If you've been a radio listener out there for a while, you know what that means. And we talk about homeostasis. And how important it is to balance the body, if we're trying to balance the body. So in the structure function model that you use, what results have you seen with lead toxicity?
Well, one of the nice things about the structure function model is that we look for the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. Too many of the people who have come in with lead toxicity had certain types of complaints that weren't being addressed well. They weren't getting the results. And one of the main reasons is because they were looking at the symptomatology, not the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main differences between structure function care and disease model care. Understanding what disease is probably one of the defining types of things that people oftentimes don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Disease is a group of symptoms that they put together that they come up with a name, and then that's based upon the symptomatology. So pharmaceuticals and surgery are actually to address those symptoms, mm-hmm. not really to address the underlying cause. And oftentimes, as people come in, they have asked their doctor, you know, well, why did this occur?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor says, well, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that seems like a strange statement, but it comes from their training. Their mm-hmm. training is to deal with the symptomatology, not really looking for the underlying cause. And a lot of people who are frustrated and can't get the results that they were looking for is as a result of that. I was thinking about one lead patient who was a gentleman who came in who had severe abdominal pains. And they had done all sorts of tests on him to figure out why he was having abdominal pains. He was also having some strange neurological, but they were associating it with abdominal pains. And they were giving him all sorts of different types of medications. And when they had referred him to a psychiatrist, that's when he had had enough. Because he says, you know, this isn't in my head. I know mm-hmm. that I have the abdominal pains. Severe constipation. There were some other different types of things that were going on. He had iron anemia, which they were trying to figure out. And we did a whole series of battery tests, and I went through all the different ones that could be involved. And one of the things I had said was a hair analysis, and he couldn't see the correlation of that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, that could be really important. You know, I would hate to miss that because the minerals has a great deal to do with the bowels and how they move. And sure enough on that, we had found high levels of lead.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he had done is he had worked in a factory that had high levels along those lines.
Of lead.
Of lead. That was actually one of the major things that they dealt with. And he had had different types of blood tests, but it wasn't actually showing up in the blood tests. It was more of a cumulative type of thing. So when we did the hair analysis, we found the high levels of lead, and I went through all the symptomatology that could be involved in that. And he says, wow, that really sounds like me.
Mm-hmm.
We started him. I said, you know, we're going to do a 3-month program on this, and then we'll be checking in 3 months, you know, on what was going on. And within 4 weeks, his symptoms were gone.
Mm.
And
what kind of symptoms was he having?
He was having severe abdominal pains was his main complication. And then he was also having severe constipation. He was also, you know, some of his blood work would, you know, made sense afterwards. You know, the iron anemia was one of the things that they were thinking about, and they were very concerned that he was bleeding in the bowels, and they had poked and prodded him and stuck stuff up and down and all sorts of the ways and everywhere that you don't want it stuck.
Right. Doesn't sound fun.
and they said, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, you need mm-hmm. to see a psychiatrist, and probably it's just, you know, you must have stress in your life or something that's causing that. Which is a big frustration. I mean, that, you know, certainly is something.
We hear that a lot.
We hear, if you can't figure out what's wrong, then you're crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he wasn't crazy. I mean, you know, the lead toxicity was definitely leading to that. So, you know, dressing that, he got the results. And within 3 months, you know, we had the lead. We had the lead out.
We had the lead out. How to get the lead out. Was he lighter?
Oh, yeah. And his blood work, you know, came back into normal within those 3 months. And mm-hmm. Within 4 weeks, you know, he felt much better. You know, at the beginning, you know, he was kind of like, oh, because he was going through some detox and, mm-hmm. you know, getting the lead went out through the urine. And so it wasn't easy the first 4 weeks. But, you know, all of a sudden he could tell that there was a huge difference.
Patience.
Right.
You know, to the best.
During the detoxification, that type of thing, people, You know, and you think about this. I mean, you know, this was something that had been going on for 2 years, and I said, you know, you.
Yeah.
I said it's going to take three months.
People want you to, yeah. They give you like a day to a week.
So, you know, I said, we definitely know what the problem is. This all makes sense, and it does take a certain amount of time to get this out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the best way to do it, and this is a lot easier than the, you know, the chelation. It would, you know, it really goes a lot easier. It's a lot harder on you.
The chelation way. Is, yeah.
So we were able to put him on the products on that, and complete success along those lines.
So you were talking about the Center of Disease Control is really focusing on this with children under 5 and under.
Right.
Do you see children with lead toxicity at your office?
Absolutely. We have had some children with lead toxicity. One of the children that we actually checked on was just a screen. In other words, mom really wasn't aware of too many problems just coming in for a physical. The child, as far as she was concerned, was pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of colds, things like that. There was some weakened immune system, but nothing really particular. We found the lead, and we were able to get the lead out again. What was surprising is she said, I really didn't know what the child was capable of. She said, I just thought he was a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there was, he wasn't quite as bright as his siblings. But he just perked up and was just a completely different, you know, much more vivacious. And she, you know, what she thought was a, you know, personality, that he was just a little bit not quite there, didn't quite get things as quickly, couldn't learn quite as quickly, really turned around once we got the lead taken care of. So that was something that they weren't really expecting.
Now, how did you know that?
It was something that, well, we did a hair analysis.
Okay, but how did you know to do the hair analysis?
That is something that I recommend for everybody to have done.
Yeah.
Especially children under the age of 5. That's just an automatic thing that I recommend. One of the things that I've been aware of is this type of a situation for a long time, and know that really any child under the age of 5 should have heavy metals checked.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, even on our own children, one of our children actually showed up high nickel.
Yeah.
And that was coming from some tooth fillings, which we actually had removed. Got that out, but that would have caused a lot of problems for her if we hadn't actually addressed that.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that.
So, you know, doing those types of checks on my own children really has made a lot of difference on their health and well-being. And if I had let that go and let that sit, there would have been some, our child would have had some learning disabilities associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keeping up on that type of thing is very important. But I have had children with some severe problems. I've had children who actually came in with some severe learning disabilities, you know, where there was quite a bit of deficit in neurological problems that they'd been checked on, had gone through quite a lot of regimens trying to get those corrected, and we found heavy lead toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
Which they had actually presented to the people who were specialists. Really, and they said, well, if that explains it. You know, it's like, well, why didn't you check on that? But that's not, you know, as you take the child in, even to specialists who are dealing with neurological issues, they don't, I have never seen them actually check for lead toxicity.
Mm.
So one of the things that the Center of Disease Control had found, and why they've tried to make this such a high priority, is so many of the problems had a basis on that. But they had checked to see how many pediatricians or specialists were actually checking for lead, and it was pretty abysmal. I mean, the cases that they were, you know, had actually, you know, screened for that was very, very low.
Mm.
And they said that this was a real problem. We need to bring this to the attention of healthcare workers. We need to bring this to attention of social workers. We need to start to get that information out there that this is something that should be screened on a regular basis.
So, Dr. Prather, we have a few more seconds left. What closing remarks do you have for today's show?
Well, one of the things that I like to say is that you don't know if you don't test. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is non-invasive and should be done.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.